time once again for another edition of the Lunch Special right here on KZSU.
You said me?
Welcome to another edition of the Lunch Special here on KZSU. Joined today by poli-sci professor Jim Fearon. And returning for a second time here on the Lunch Special, welcome back to KZSU, Jim.
Thanks. Very good to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I guess we're going to hear some guitar music today, huh?
That's right. That's what it tends to be what I like. Music with a lot of guitars.
And where did you pick that up?
I don't know, I guess.
Just growing up?
Growing up, yeah.
Listening to the radio?
Yeah, I started to play myself and just have always loved electric guitar.
The dream of a lot of young American kids.
Not so much anymore, probably, but...
Now they play computers.
Yeah, this is old-time music.
There you go. Yeah. And who was that we just heard from?
That was a Boston band called The Liars. That was playing when I was in college and used to go see quite a bit. It was led by a guy named, called himself Mono Man at the time, Jeff Connolly, had been in a 70s Boston band called the DMZ, which I think I played the last time I was here. Good stuff.
Cool. What do we got up next for the folks?
Okay, so the next thing's another. We got a couple things from Boston at that time, the late 70s, early 80s. This next thing is I think the most obscure thing I've got for today. This is, you know, I don't think you can't find this anywhere. This is a band called The Flies. It was led by a guy named Nat Friedberg. A song called In the Arnold Arboretum. Maybe I'll say more about it a little later on. Here we go.
Thank you.
go what I do. And I'll say, cause I don't know if it's wrong or if it's right. The many colors that surround me are reflected. And all the flowers are in bloom beneath the moon that shines so bright. But I don't need a reason, not arborists. And all the trees and all their leaves assume fantastic. And if I like the gravel paths are strewn with plastic gray, my shadow stretches out to sleep upon the grass in front of me. The other shadows run like rats. I don't know which I'd rather be. But I don't need a reason. You're not operating. Dogs are howling at the moon, but they can't get it right. Every voice is out of tune and all the bugs have lost a bite. It's getting slow, so I must go, but I'll be back tomorrow. And if they ask, just let them know that I just do it out of spite. But I don't need a reason, you're not operating.
Some guitar rock for your Monday afternoon here with Poli-Sci Professor. In case you just tuned in, it's a lunch special. Jim, is it Fear On?
That's right.
Okay. Talk about that song.
So, yeah. So like I said, this is hard to find. This is this short-lived band in Boston around, you know, 81, 82 maybe.
How did you find it?
Called The Flies. I think I saw them, you know, bought records by them.
Oh.
Some of the people who played in this band went on to play in a band I'll play next called The Neats that I used to go see a lot. But this guy, interesting thing here, this band was led by a guy named Nat Friedberg, who I think is still playing with this, went on to play with a group called The Upper Crust, which is a quite amusing or a pretty funny band that they dress up like 18th century lords from France. And they've
only
got a whole
in Boston, right?
Yeah. It is a kind of a Boston college rock thing. But that band, the Upper Crust, had a guitar player who I actually didn't really know him very well. I met him, but a friend of my wife's from college, who has got to be the only kind of you know, strange alternative rock band guy who worked in the Clinton administration. A guy named Ted Widmer.
Cool.
Anyway, so the next next thing is this band called The Neats.
They're called The Neats and what?
Song's called Sad.
All right. Anything you want to say to set it up?
No, let's just play it.
All right.
Hello. smile. I don't know what to do, 'cause I can lose everything in a minute or two. It's not fair to put you against all of the years behind, 'cause history kind of pales when it and you are blind.
Is that garage rock?
Yes.
Would you call it that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you could call it that. That was the Dream Syndicate from, I guess, their first EP. That was an LA band from, what does it say, 82, so same time.
We're talking to Poli-Sci Professor. That's political science to you novice out there, Jim Fearon. And second time on the show, the first time was January of 08, Jim. You remember that?
I do.
And you had some of the same records, but I'm sure you're not playing the same tunes.
Well, it's possible, but I didn't look it up. I'm definitely playing some of the same bands, but I think yeah, they're different tunes. Last time I wanted to play, I played like very high energy, aggressive stuff. This is maybe just one notch down.
Is it that you've gotten older and
yeah, I'm starting to mellow out. Yeah,
good. I bet your peeps enjoy that too, huh?
Yeah. What are peeps?
Your peoples. Do you get to have record parties around your house?
No, because the phonograph, the old fashioned turntable is still up in the attic and has been there for a long time. We think we should take it out to show the kids. You know.
Yeah, an old antique.
Yeah, but no, we're digital and the post-kids life is less amenable to sitting around for hours listening to music, so there's less of that.
Maybe you could
but
take
it's
the
nice,
records.
It's, you know, it's nice to come in here and go down memory
lane.
Sure,
yeah. Or you could take the records, give them to the kids, and buy them one of those turntables that plugs into the computer and have them digitize it for you and dump them on your iPod.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Or I could just buy them off, you know, iTunes or something.
Can you buy these off iTunes?
Well, not all of them, but some of them. Yeah, you're right.
What do we got coming up, Jim?
So next is a venerable band, the Velvet Underground. But this is
Lou Reed.
It's a song that or it's from a bootleg that was subsequently released, you know, in some kind of official manner. And I always thought the bootleg sounded a lot better. It's like something about the way it was recorded or put to vinyl. It's just got like a much much better sound than what they released or what was released. Normally, so
well, the other thing was kind of corporate, wasn't it?
That, yeah, it kind of like put it through many too many compressors and stuff.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah,
here it is, the Velvet Underground.
Well,
Lee, Velvet Underground from a bootleg. Are we allowed to play bootlegs? Hey, watch it, buddy, watch it.
That's a question for you. I don't know, but I don't know that was that wasn't super early, but it was.
It was a bootleg.
It was a bootleg. That's true.
And we're here with a professor of polyscience, political science, poli-sci, as they say in the academic community, Jim Fearon, and playing some very obscure guitar rock from the mostly from the 80s, huh, Jim?
Most of the stuff, what we just heard was from, I don't know, 69 or 70, but the other stuff was, Boston around 1980.
Stuff that influenced you in your younger days?
Very much, yeah.
Just a little information on you. You were born in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. I guess raised there too, huh?
That's correct.
And you went to Harvard?
Yep.
For your undergrad. And you had a radio show.
Briefly.
Please speak about that a little bit.
Well, there was a radio station called, I guess there still is, called WHRB. It was in a basement, much like this one is here. It was, let's see. Have you seen this movie called High Fidelity, I think it was?
Yeah.
So, about the culture of
record stores and all that stuff.
Record collectors and music geeks. I was not one of the high status people among that sect of at the radio station who were real serious collectors, a couple of whom have gone on to be music industry people in various ways. But I did play, I had a show for like 2 years. I was generally quite incompetent the whole thing.
But you had fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, what did you call the show?
I don't think it had a name.
Really?
No. I don't think it was different. They didn't really, the whole radio culture is a little different on the East Coast. The college radio culture, but there wasn't a show. They did have these things called, HRB had, they probably still do, these things called orgies, music orgies, that is, where they would play, you'd have 6 hours devoted to some particular artist.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did a couple of those.
Who'd you do them on?
The one I did, a really weird one that was on this. It made no sense at all. There was a band which I might play later called the Swell Maps from Britain, and the Cramps, who were an American group from Ohio originally. And just this one here's another one. It just occurred to me. It had more coherence. The Who, the Kinks, and this band called The Creation were produced by this guy named Shel Talmy, who I always thought he was just this brilliant producer. He got the best guitar sound of anyone ever. Maybe I'll play a Creation song later. And we had an orgy of like stuff produced by Shel Talmy. It was like the early days of The Who, early Kinks. He knew how to do guitars.
Did you record these shows?
It's possible that somewhere in the attic there is a recording, but I'm not sure. So let's go to the next thing, okay?
Yeah, let's. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to finish up real quick.
Oh, okay.
From Harvard, you graduated and went to Cal, Berkeley.
Eventually,
for your PhD in political science.
Mm-hmm.
And then you taught at the University of Chicago for a little while.
Yep.
How did you find that?
It was great.
How was the music scene?
Were
you able to go see
not
bands?
As much as when I was in grad school and college. Mm-hmm. but a little bit. I was playing with some grad students there. That was mainly my musical involvement at the time.
Let's back up a little bit. So when you went to Berkeley in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, getting mm-hmm. your PhD, how was the music scene there?
I don't know. It was good. I mean, a lot of good stuff came through. I remember seeing a lot of good things there was this place called the Berkeley Square, and we'd go into the city.
Mm-hmm.
I saw, popular bands from the early 1990s. Like, I saw the Pixies probably 4 times and Nirvana like 3 times and things like that. So there was some good stuff going on. But there was, there's less of a kind of local rock scene here at the time than there was in Boston, where there's basically, because there's like a zillion colleges in Boston.
And I guess they spawn it, right?
Yeah.
And then after teaching in Chicago for a while, I guess you got recruited by Stanford, or you called them?
That's ancient history. I don't really remember.
So you just ended up here in 1998,
Yeah, I ended up here. We came out in 1998. Yeah.
And you've been teaching here ever since.
That's right.
You made full professor, and you teach in the political science department.
That's right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's play some more music.
So this next thing is a band that I came to really, really like over time. Kind of a little late, like after college. It's a band called The Only Ones, who were known for. They're kind of considered to be a one-hit wonder band. They have this song called "Another Girl, Another Planet," which is terrific. But it turns out, if you listen to stuff, their songwriter Peter Parrott, he was just brilliant. Like, he almost never wrote a bad song, and he's like a great lyricist. This is from kind of an album of outtakes that's kind of hard to find, called Devon Song.
Game. good time, but you gotta get used to it. You better resign yourself. You get what you deserve. You are the bad guy, you're the worst, and you gotta love a little bit. You get what you deserve.
And this is all favorite music of the producer of the show, Blue. She's freaking out about this stuff, Jim.
That was kind of funny.
I'm sure that there's somebody out there listening feeling the same way, probably more than one. There was a whole world of people that really related to this music about your age, huh?
Apparently, yeah.
You had a real audience, didn't it?
Yeah, there was a, you know, so... you know, when I was in high school in the late 70s, there was kind of a, you know, there was the kind of the dominant tail end of classic rock.
Mm-hmm. Then punk came in.
And then punk comes in, and this was like, you know, there was sort of a division, and those who liked this, like, new stuff were sort of the, you know, I don't know, you know, the outcast, I don't know, it wasn't the popular thing. And so, like, it, I guess that produced a lot of identification.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, although, you know, now in retrospect, a lot of the stuff that I, you know, sneered at, I think things just great, you know, like Lynyrd Skynyrd and things like that.
Cool, that's all guitar rock.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
What do we got up next for the folks?
Well, let's say so. We just heard was a Big Star.
Oh, that's right. We didn't back announce that.
Yeah, yeah. Before that, this the Only Ones, Peter Parrott's band.
Right, and we went right into Big Star.
We right into Big Star, which and I you know, this is well known stuff among people who like this kind of music. But I really want to play it because Alex Chilton died kind of prematurely of a heart attack in New Orleans. I don't know, a couple months ago.
Oh, really?
And yeah. And he made some phenomenal stuff. The first three records with Big Star are really, really great. That was You Get What You Deserve from the second record, Radio City. So, all right. So let's go on to the next thing.
And what is the next one?
Next thing is different. It's the Soft Boys, a song called The Face of Death.
Yeah.
some more garage rock for the listening pleasure this Monday afternoon.
I fix my face.
There you go.
And anything you want to say about that one?
No, not really. But the next song is home produced stuff by myself and the guys that I played with in Chicago in the early 90s.
And anything else about it? Got a title for the track?
You know, we had this bad habit of we never really asked this guy Thurston Navy. We often, you know, the music would come first and then he'd add lyrics and singing to it, and the name of the song would usually stick with what we called it while the music was being developed. So this one became known as the Loping Song, but I'm sure it really has a more appropriate title if we could get in touch with Thurston.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some crazy sounds coming out of your radio this Monday afternoon here, 9 minutes before the top of the hour on the lunch special. I'm your host, Bird, and Jim, Professor of Poli-Sci, Jim Furon is here. And crazy stuff, Jim.
Yeah, so that was going back to Boston again. This was Missioner Burma, who were in the, you know, one of the bright spots of the Boston scene there in the early 80s. Saw them many times. Very influential band at the time, and perhaps, you know, I don't know, to some extent subsequently.
You need to go over to Braun Music Center and do a guitar history class, man.
I have a lot of fun with that, but you know, if any students at all were interested, that'd be quite a surprise,
wouldn't it? Though,
yeah. So that was Missioner Burma from, I'm going to guess, I don't know, 81. This next thing is Pere Ubu from this EP they released in 75. Now, this was just way ahead of its time, and kind of in terms of musical concepts, you know, there was almost nothing new in Missioner Burma. It was all in Pere Ubu, which was the case for an enormous amount of post-punk stuff. So this is Heart of Darkness.
Let's try it.
Man, and everything I see.
Looking at what? Who was that, Jim?
That was Paribu, Heart of Darkness.
Paribu, Heart of Darkness. Mm-hmm. This has been an hour of guitar-based rock and roll.
Yeah.
And how did it go for you?
I've had a good time.
Great.
A lot of fun.
Great. Any special projects you're working on or anything?
Trying to get some articles published. You know, I work on civil war, ethnic conflict, this and that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, please come back.
I'd be delighted. So this last thing is a kind of strange British band from around the same time, I guess, early 80s, the Swell Maps. This, like a lot of the records, was damaged in, these records lived through a flooded basement in Chicago in, I'm going to guess, 96. So you're going to hear scratches from Chicago mud here.
All right. Thanks, man. Stay in touch, huh?
Okay.
All right.